The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition, we're going to be talking about an interesting research project looking at skin healing in diabetes. Although this particular project isn't funded by DRWF, it has some interesting findings, and I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Anna Tiganescu to discover more.
So I'm Dr. Anna Tiganescu. I'm a university research fellow at the University of Leeds, and I'm also with the Academy of Medical Sciences Springboard Fellow. And I'm really happy to share my research with you today.
Can you give us the title of your research?
Yes. So my research is on glucocorticoids and skin healing in diabetes, or GC Shield, so GC hyphen Shield, S-H-E-A-L-D, which is published recently in the European Journal of Endocrinology. And my role in this study was as a scientific lead, working in close collaboration with a team of clinicians at the Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. And the clinical study was led by Dr. Ramzi Ajan.
So can you explain what it is about chronic non-healing wounds such as diabetic foot ulcers that are so common and a worldwide health problem of substantial medical and socio-economic importance?
Yep, so there's quite a bit to unpack in there. So type 2 diabetes is on the increase, and there's 1 in 10 adults over 40 in the UK that now have the condition. And it's a complex disease. Genetics plays a role, but it is largely driven by modifiable lifestyle factors such as diet and exercise. Diabetic foot ulcers affect roughly 1 in 20 people with type 2 diabetes. So that's around 60,000 people in the UK at any one time. Sadly, this rate is on the increase. Diabetic foot ulcers are caused by a range of factors, including poor blood circulation or ischemia due to artery disease, which reduces the elasticity of blood vessels that narrow and resulting in reduced blood flow. Also pressure in weight-bearing parts of the foot. Nerve damage also plays a role because poor circulation leads to people not being able to feel the injury. Pain is actually an incredibly useful response that allows us to rest the affected injury and gives it a chance to heal. So nerve damage is a really important part of the progression of the disease. The link to arterial disease means that patients with high blood pressure and cholesterol are also more likely to suffer from diabetic foot ulcers. But we believe that stress also plays a role. So too much of the stress hormone cortisol can lead to something known as steroid diabetes. Steroids stimulate the body to produce and release more sugar. To compensate, the pancreas produces more insulin, but this is ineffective. Chronic wounds have a substantial social and economic impact. Patients with diabetic foot ulcers have reduced mobility, which leads to isolation and depression. It's more challenging to work, leading to deepening poverty, which is associated with poorer lifestyle choices and lifestyle in general, not helped by rising costs of fresh produce. It's much harder to exercise, so weight gain increases, and that worsens disease progression. Foot ulcer patients also face a really high degree of social stigma. And my colleague, Dr. Anna Galatska at the University of Cardiff, her research is working with the Lindsay Leg Clubs, which are just a great support network. Her research found that stigma leads to increased stress, and this drives a vicious cycle of poor health and inequality. So we think that stress is a really important player as well. Sadly, because of the multi-morbidity associated with diabetic foot ulcers, there is a five-year mortality risk of 50%, or one in two foot ulcer patients. In half of foot ulcer cases, the ulcers become chronic and may require surgical intervention, such as revascularization to improve the blood flow, or in some cases, amputation. This is also because treatments are not very effective, and diabetic foot ulcers still occur even when the blood sugar is well controlled. And that suggests that other factors, such as stress, could be quite important. Our research aims to break this vicious cycle between stress and ulcer risk by developing a new therapy to improve wound healing and prevent worsening health and social outcomes for people with diabetes and other chronic wounds.
And what are the costs for wound care in the UK?
So around a billion a year is spent on diabetic foot ulcer care, and up to 8 billion a year on all wounds. And that's based on data from 2017 to 18. So actually the situation now is comparably worse to 5 years ago. So roughly this is around 1 to 8% of the total NHS budget. Again, today it's likely to be even higher.
So why are the profound atrophic effects of glucocorticoids on human skin structure and function?
So glucocorticoids, it's a little bit of a mouthful. Glucocorticoids are the stress hormone in humans. So cortisol being the main stress hormone. And they affect virtually every tissue in the human body. And if they're elevated, if you've got high cortisol for a long period of time, even relatively low levels can cause a range of unwanted effects, such as muscle weakness, bone loss, memory impairment, and heart disease. In the skin, they affect every single type of cell, causing reduced collagen, and that leads to skin that is weak and fragile, that is more easily damaged, and leading to increased bruising, and that's from the weakened blood vessels that rupture more easily. Skin thinning with a consistency that's more quite similar to tissue paper, and slow wound healing with increased risks of infection.
So I've got a really long word here. I'm going to use the shortened version. You can use a longer one. Can you explain what 11BHSD is and how they regulate local blood glucose availability independently of circulating levels?
Yep. So HSD enzymes activate, so HSD1 activate and deactivate cortisol from its inactive form, cortisone. So our research focus is on HSD1, which activates cortisol in most human tissues, including skin. Circulating cortisol levels are under tight control by the brain and fluctuate throughout the day. They're high in the morning, in the early morning to get us out of bed, and they ebb away at night. However, the level of cortisol that is available in tissues depends on HSD1 levels. And interestingly, my research found that these levels increase as we age in all tissues, suggesting that older people might be more sensitive to the adverse effects of stress. HSD1 is effectively the tap that regulates how much stress our tissues are exposed to and for how long. We believe that this tap could be defective in diabetic foot ulcers, and turning it off or turning it down could shield skin from the damaging effects of cortisol, giving it a chance to heal.
So that HSD1 activity increases during wound healing. So how does the inhibition improve wound healing in preclinical models of GC excess, aging and diabetes?
Yeah, so we have preclinical evidence that HSD1 activity increases during wound healing, but this has yet to be confirmed in humans, and that's our ongoing research. Demonstrating that this is the case and making the link to chronic foot ulcers is a really important missing piece of the puzzle. We know that it increases with aging and that type 2 diabetes affects older people, typically sort of mid-50s, 60s onwards. Stress hormone levels are also increased in diabetes. So combined with higher HSD1, this could be part of the delayed healing that is experienced in patients with diabetic foot ulcers. So far, the preclinical models have been very promising. Topical, which is a gel or a cream applied to the skin, topical HSD1 blockers were able to restore healing in chronic wounds caused by too much cortisol. Importantly, even in the presence of sustained high levels of stress hormone in the blood, which was quite remarkable, really. In models of aging, system-wide, so in the whole body 11 beta HSD1 blocking or inhibition also prevented age-induced loss of collagen and improved wound healing, though we don't yet know if the process is reversible by HSD1 inhibition once it's already started, or whether early intervention is key. That's another missing piece of the puzzle. At some point, understandably, the tissue will become beyond repair. So prevention of deterioration and early intervention will likely be key. In diabetes, others have also shown that HSD1 inhibition improves wound healing. But the most compelling evidence so far on this is from our recent clinical trial.
Mm. In your research, you conducted a randomized controlled trial to evaluate the effects of HSD1 inhibition on skin function and wound healing in patients with type 2 diabetes. Can you explain your results there?
Yes, this was a pilot study that was conducted with AstraZeneca, which is the first clinical study looking at the effect of HSD1 inhibition on skin function. And it was conducted in Leeds through the diabetes clinics at St. James's University Hospital and the NIHR Leeds Biomedical Research Centre at Chapel Allerton Hospital. People with type 2 diabetes without foot ulcers underwent small skin biopsies under a local anaesthetic, which were monitored for healing. And that was done in real time using a technique called optical coherence tomography, which is a little bit like an ultrasound. It allows us to see what's going on underneath the skin. Our early findings suggest that wounds in people who received the 11 beta inhibitor healed almost 50% faster compared to people who received the placebo, which is like the dummy drug. This is really particularly exciting given that these patients have relatively normal healing. They don't have active foot ulcers, and we expect that their cortisol levels and their HSD1 levels would be more normal compared to someone with a foot ulcer. Although, again, this has not yet been confirmed. We also found reductions in blood pressure and cholesterol, And again, I've mentioned how important they are in the development of foot ulcers. This could also reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, such as heart attack and stroke, which are also known to be stress related. So you can see how the two feed into each other. Interestingly as well, the ability of skin to form an effective barrier against water loss was also reduced with 11 beta inhibition, suggesting a potential adverse effect of the treatment. So restoring this barrier after repeated tape stripping with sellotape, it's like a special kind of sellotape, was also impaired slightly. So that suggests that HSD1 and cortisol may have a beneficial role in skin as well, in maintaining that effective barrier. However, the healing of the barrier was fully restored in both groups, in both the placebo and with the 11 beta HSD1 inhibitor. However, in this experiment, when we were looking at the skin barrier, we also found that HSD1 inhibition made the skin more resistant to disruption by tape stripping. So it held together. It was as if the cement between the bricks was stronger, and that improvement is actually comparable to the difference between a 20-year-old and an 80-year-old shown by other studies. So HSD1 overall, the HSD1 inhibitor was safe. It was well tolerated as well by the patients. We didn't find any notable differences in blood safety markers, such as liver, kidney, or thyroid function between the two groups. And adverse events, including mild stomach upset and headache, were also reported at a comparable level between people who had received the HSD1 inhibitor and the placebo. It's really important to stress that this was a very small study in 28 patients. So 14 were treated with the placebo and 14 with the HSD1 inhibitor. And it was conducted at just one single site. It will be used to inform and shape the design of future clinical studies that will need to be conducted in larger numbers of patients and more representative groups of patients as well.
So there is further research you'll be doing to follow up?
Yes, of course, there is much more that needs to be done. In addition to confirming these findings from our recent clinical trial in a larger cohort of patients, we predict that people with diabetic foot ulcers might have higher HSD1 and cortisol levels, as I've already suggested, and that these may be even higher in patients with ulcers that are slow to heal or that become chronic. So that's going to be really important so that we can effectively target the therapy to the patients who really need it the most and who have most to benefit from the treatment. We are also working on a new automated imaging tool to monitor healing and developing new biomarkers, so in the blood, that can pick up early signs of people who are most likely to suffer from chronic foot ulcers. Future studies will also explore how HSD1 inhibitors could be useful as a prevention against getting foot ulcers in the first place. So, for example, in people with poor blood flow or arterial disease, that might be more at risk. So together, these studies are going to help us to identify and select those who need and are most likely to benefit from the treatment. And this is referred, you might have heard to this concept referred to as personalized medicine. Mm. This will also improve how we select patients, participants in future studies. And that's really important, again, to kind of guarantee study effectiveness and success.
So this is a real game changer potentially for people living with diabetes and along that personalised route.
It is. We hope that we're by targeting a new mechanism that is potentially the root cause of the delayed healing, that patients will have more effective therapy. And it's going to really help people living with diabetes. That could transform, it could really transform their lives, reducing the risk of ulcer occurrence in the first place, and then improving ulcer healing and slowing down the progression to like a severe ulcer could be obviously total game changer, really giving people the freedom to live their lives relatively normally. Because of the substantial medical and socioeconomic impact that we've already discussed, this will also really help tackle some of the health inequalities in our society.
Thanks for joining us today, Anna, and talking about your research on our podcast, Living with Diabetes. I'm Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Look out for our new series of short interviews with researchers who've been supported by DRWF and the advances they are making. To discover how you can continue to support DRWF, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information, it's all on our website at drwf.org.uk.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2023. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.